Off the ball.
Rugby.
Sport creates such community. Like for me, it really had a massive staple in my life and kind of gave me direction and, you know, that sense of belonging.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Power Rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA.
Okay, it's football power rankings time, and even though there was only six counties in action this weekend, we have a lot to talk about. Fresh from the Ulster final, Tommy Rooney, the king of the power rankings, how are you?
Fresh is the last thing I'd call myself, Mick, after that fever dream in Clonus yesterday. But do you know what? Who wants to be fresh after a glorious weekend of Gaelic football? And I'll tell you one thing, I bet you the man in the corner ain't fresh either.
No, I can tell you, he's supposed to be off today, but he wasn't having any of that. In his Westmeath jersey, he hasn't been home yet. Matthew Brennan.
Yeah, I'm certainly not fresh. Fresh is probably the last thing that I could be described as, and probably the last thing that I'd want to be after yesterday, which I would probably go and describe as one of the best days of my life. And
sounds like
I
it.
Think there would be, that would be the consensus around the majority of Westmeath after yesterday. I mean, it was absolutely outrageous.
You were on the hill.
I was on the hill, yeah.
Were you one of the lads up the top?
No, we weren't. We weren't okay. In amongst the big, the ultras, as they're being described, amongst the masses. But we were a little bit further down, mainly because there was that many of us going. We decided that it might be a little bit too taxing on the brain to try and get 10 or 11 tickets in a row beside each other. So I said, we'll get the hill ones and we'll figure it out when we get there. So that's what we did, and it worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
There must be nothing better. That is just class.
It was unbelievable. And from my own point of view, I mean, I had a bit of a panic even getting there yesterday. I was away for the weekend and managed to get back just in time. But getting up there was, it's hard to even find words to describe it. I mean, the first, we get into the game, obviously, but like the ebbing and flowing and the way it went and the trademark Westmeath thing of we'll give you every chance to get back into it. And then they did get back into it and then they saved it themselves at the end. It was ridiculous.
It was magic. We'll get to it. It was one of those great football occasions that you just could not take your eyes off. I was trying to watch a bit of Limerick and Waterford, but there was really just no coming away from Croke Park. It just had one of those magic feelings that doesn't always happen in every game, let's face it. But this one had it written all over it, you know. So
Matthew, do you hear that?
I know.
You won over Hurling Man.
Football, baby. The Hurling got relegated to silent on the phone.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't blame you, Michael, because it's been class the last couple of weeks of football. But the hurling will have his moment too.
We don't need to be always contrasting and comparing. As we know, the power rankings on Off the Ball are with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA. And before we move on, don't forget, if you have any gripes with Tommy's selections, we could be sending you to a similar occasion in Croke Park. Just do get in touch with us on the Off the Ball WhatsApp 087-9180-180 or by email. The address there is enter@offtheball.com. Let us know who you would change and why. Harvey Norman have very kindly given us tickets to give away for a lucky winner each week to a game in Croke Park. So if you want to be going to a game there later on this year, I think it's the quarterfinals or the next games we have up for you, please do get in touch and we will select a winner later this week. Right, lads, we're going to get to it quickly. There's not much to talk about in the first two slides, so I want to get through them and then we'll talk about glorious Westmeath. Limerick remain at 33. There's no changes in page 4. It's Limerick at 33.
New York
are a change?
Limerick at 33.
That's just a typo. It's just a typo. Don't worry about it. Yeah, we have Limerick written down for some reason. Poor Limerick. But we have New York at 33. Does that mean Limerick are at 32? I'm missing something.
No,
here.
Do you want me to go through them here?
I should.
Just so we have them.
I should have them here in front of me. Yeah, sorry, go on. Limerick, Limerick at 33, Waterford are at 32, London at 31, Tip 30, Antrim, definitely not Armagh, 29, Fermanagh 28, Leitrim 27, Longford 26, and Carlow are at 25. And if we jump up now to slide 3, which is what we were, I think, originally going with there, 24 is Limerick, 23 Wicklow, 22 Sligo. Me and Matthew still have a problem with that a week on, but there's been no game, so we can't argue with you. 21 Clare, 20 Offaly, 19 Laois, 18 Wexford, and 17 Cavan. Let's bump on to page 2, because in this rankings from 9 to 16, We have Kildare at 16. We have Down dropping 1-15 despite their Talchin Cup win over Leitrim. We have Tyrone dropping all the way down to 14. Derry down to 13. Meath down to 12. Louder down 2 spots to 11. And you might wonder, how could this all happen? And it's because Monaghan have jumped up a place to 9th, but in 10th place up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 places in the Tommy Rooney conservative power rankings is Ear V themselves, Westmead. He's never moved anyone even close to 5 before, Matthew. Explain yourself.
I just think the run that Westmead have gone on here, like to win back to back to back Leinster games, has been just absolutely glorious. And, you know, they absolutely deserve to jump 5 places in the power rankings. I'm looking forward to Matthew giving out to me that they should be higher, but I think we've got to realise that a new competition starts this weekend, and it's called the All-Ireland Series. The provincial championships are over. They're done with. The leagues are over and done with. So I think Westmead deserve to be in 10th place. And the manner in which their middle eight came alive yesterday and drove them to the win was just glorious to watch. And look, I was saying a couple of weeks back about Cork, even last week, that they could have put the foot on Kerry's throat when they were down so many bodies, and they didn't. I was lamenting the fact that Loud had relinquished their responsibility in putting the foot on Dublin when they could have, and they didn't. They wilted. But by God, Westmead did not wilt. They rose to the occasion. And that swing in the second half, when they went from maybe 5 down to 5 up, that is the mark of a team that deserve to be Leinster champions and deserve to be 10th in the power rankings. And after, you know, the women's team on Saturday won a Leinster Intermediate title, the men's team on Sunday won one. I had to pull into 2010 Patisserie on the way home. Mullingar, Una Leonard's obviously a brilliant GA woman herself, and just had to just soak up a little bit of the atmosphere. I was actually invited, I won't say who invited me, but one of the Westmead footballers invited me to join them in Clark's, but I said, I can't, boys, I gotta go do my job on the power rankings. So I just think, look, unbelievable stuff. And
Tommy, you should have went to football Clark's, to be honest with you.
I know
definitely should have. I might go in there now. No, I think they're doing a bit of an tour around Westmead. There was Mulling primarily yesterday, but they're
it's class. It's class.
I don't think I it would be fair for me to complain about the power rankings if there's been a 5 place mover. I mean, that never happened. So that is valid. And I won't be sticking the boot in there, but at all. But I as you say, like the middle age yesterday, I mean, you could go through all of the names. Like it everything about the performance was yeah, it was exceptional. And when you look at the start of the game, they flew out of the traps pretty well. Like they started quite well, and then Dublin got back into it a little bit, and it was a bit, they were feeling each other out, I thought. And then in the start of the second half, as you say, when Dublin got a couple of points ahead, I was actually looking around going, I think we're struggling here. It's very slow. We're not seeing the Westmead that we'd seen against Kildare, and definitely seen against Meath, and that it was this hard running direct stuff. And it was a little bit of it, but it was a bit more tentative. And I didn't know whether that was to do with whether it was the occasion or whether it was the pitch or whether it was the fact that Dublin were just set up defensively very well. And then suddenly it was in a matter of moments. Like the only thing you could compare it to, and it's obviously a different occasion and the quality is obviously not as good, but the 15-minute period of Kerry and Armagh last year where they just absolutely blitzed them on the kickouts. I mean, every single kickout, Ray Kinnellan was lording it around there in the middle of the field, has done all year. And that seemed to be like, yeah, the Evan Comerford just didn't really know what to do, and he kept doing the same thing and he kept getting the same result. And yeah, I mean, the lads coming off the bench made a massive difference as well. I mean, we can get into individual performances, but like Senan Baker, talk about making a name for yourself there. I mean, this is a guy that's been touted for years. I would have played against him a lot. I would have been playing in goal and he would have been standing there in full forward, and he would have caused us an awful lot of trouble down the years. And he's been a little bit unlucky with injuries, I suppose, the last couple of years. And I suppose yesterday now, he's going to go from strength to strength. And what a story that is too. Just so many stories around this team as well. Like we had Breen Cooney on Off the Ball Breakfast this morning, and his links to Mark McHugh is linked to Donegal. There's pictures of him with sitting in the Delaney Cup in 2004 when he's a couple of months old. And Jack, his father, is a selector on the panel. There's so many different stories like that. Tighe and Sennon being brothers. Danny and Sam with Lucy and Lara yesterday. The McCartans, like, I mean, is there a family in Ireland that's had a better weekend than them? I don't know. So I think 10th is probably valid, Tommy. Probably
we should
valid.
Mention as well that Tighe and Sennon's dad had a bit of experience winning silverware in Croke Park. Couple of All-Ireland finals back in the 90s. Ollie Baker, Clare midfielder, for anyone who doesn't remember, who settled in Westmead, much to the chagrin of Clare football, I think.
And I saw St. Joseph's Stuart Barefield sharing a very proud tweet. Congratulations.
Same colours, of course.
The Bakers, yeah, for sure. And I don't know, maybe one day they'll travel down to Clare for a tilt at a championship title with Barefield. Who knows? Maybe someday down the line. But just the links with the fathers as well, lads. Like, you know, Ollie Baker, obviously the connection there with the two boys and two phenomenal performances, like Tighe driving forward. Even for that Heston two-pointer, there's a brilliant shot from the videographer, Mark Ford, who captures Baker's driving run and he slips in. And I think it's Corcoran gives it to Heston. And as Heston celebrates the two, you don't even have to watch the ball. The camera pans up to the hill. I don't know if you've seen this, Mick, but it pans up to the ultras above the Doves on the hill. And it's just... like, I experienced the Leinster final last year between Loud and Meath, and the atmosphere was absolutely phenomenal. And I don't think the Leinster final quite in Croke Park yesterday quite had the crowd that maybe you know Clonus might have had, or the Hyde might have had in terms of it being a total sellout, or even Killarney in terms of just how tight it was in the ground itself. Because Croker is different when it's sold out, but the ferocity of the Westmeath support yesterday, and I think the manner in which Mark McHugh, and look, it's a very easy comparison to make here, but watching him speak on top of the back of the truck in Mullingar yesterday, and the manner in which he spoke to the Westmead people, that boy has learned. He has learned from his father, who was obsessed with football. He has learned from Jimmy McGuinness, you know, he was coached by. I'd say he's learned from everyone that he's worked with and coached by, like an absolute sponge for it. He's just 35, and he's talking about the Westmead lads being like a father figure to some of them. Some of them are feckin' older than him. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it's just McHugh's ability. McHugh's ability to foster a grit in that group and to harden them. And he has hardened them, lads. Like, he has hardened that group who were falling short in games time after time again. And look at it, it's always a journey to get to win. But to win just your second ever title, oh, it's just class. And like, obviously, Martin had done it at just 36 years of age, and Cavan back in 97. That connection was made yesterday too. Think of all the joy the McHughes have brought to people in Cavan and Westmead in the last couple of years. So just look at it. Just a nod to Kilcare as well, a great club. And obviously the McHughes, like Mark is still operating for his club as well when he can. So it's just class. It's brilliant.
You mentioned we mentioned connections in terms of Ollie Baker and St. Joseph's and everything like that, like Bryn Cooney, as Matthew mentioned, it was on Off the Ball Breakfast yesterday. Mother from Kilcar, pictures with Mark McHugh in the cup in 2012. You love how small this country is sometimes, that's don't you? Like, it's just
magic. It's
just a remarkable thing. Like,
Kilcar, of course, are hosting the Comórtas Pellin na Gaeltacht at the end of the month, the June Bank Holiday weekend too. So that's going to be a phenomenal weekend. I wonder will the Delaney Cup make an appearance that weekend up there.
One thing you said, Tommy, was that Westmead never wilted yesterday, and I completely agree with that. They did tighten up, though, a little bit, Matt, and there was that feeling, I think, that that game should have been done and dusted, right? And they let Dublin back into it, and they did two things to me that were very impressive. One was when they had that 2 minutes after Dublin went ahead, they calmed it down, they made sure they won the kick out. And there was no mad panic there. They knew they could get up and get a score. But then, in fairness, they executed that perfectly and actually could have got a winner in the end with the way they got it with so much time left, right? So there's that. That's an unbelievable response in the face of adversity when you've kind of thrown it away. Like, it would have been a disaster. It would have been nearly all Westmead's doing, not to, like a Cormac Costello brilliant 2.3. Notwithstanding everything else, you kind of say Dublin really didn't do it themselves. It would have been on Westmead. And then secondly, to go and kind of bounce back in extra time and dominate it and win it so easily, so that you were able to have that beautiful countdown at the end of the match, and that feeling, that rising noise in Croke Park, and then which it randomly ends at a goal as well as everything else, like as well as a hooter, just a magic finish. But the fact that Westmead were able to answer that kind of mini crisis of their own making is probably the most pleased. I for me now, I'd be looking at that thinking, like, it's great to win. Winning is the be all and end all. But now you're looking at the rest of the season. You're looking at where this team are, where we rank. Are we 10th best team in the country for the purposes of this conversation? And you're thinking, like, that would give me so much heart going forward about what this team are made of. Like,
yeah, 100%. And that's the sort of thing anyone who's even loosely followed Westmead over the last couple of years, it's been a lot of that where they will. And it's regardless of who they're playing. It could be the best team in the country. They had it with Armagh. They had it with Galway a couple of years ago. They had it with Tyrone, of course. And then and even the same thing when they're playing in Division 3, the same Wexford. Sort of thing happened. They were playing Sligo. They had the Wexford thing. The Sligo game was really tight. And this has been a recurring thing. And in some games, they have gone over the line. In some games, they haven't. And you're bang on. Like it is the hallmarks of a team that... And it's a word that's been used a lot. And I came across a couple of lads last night when I was out gallivanting around Mullingar. And the word belief is just, and I know it's a common word, but it's something they're all saying. They're using this word belief. We just have belief now. And that there's always been, and I was saying with John Kane and Alan Mangan were on with us last week before the game. They spoke about having the talented footballers. There's always been talented footballers in Westmead, but they've just not been able to put it together when it came to it. And even that team in 04 probably feel as though they underachieved and didn't win as much as they could have done. And there's the same with a lot of lads on this panel. A lot of them are young, a lot of them are fresh, a lot of them are raw, and we're seeing the best of that. But there's also guys there like Ronan Wallace, like Ray Kinnellan, like John Heslin now as well, that he's back, who have been exceptional servants to Westmead, but haven't probably achieved what they know they can do and what they know they could have done. And for that situation to occur yesterday, where they're a couple of points up with a couple of minutes to go and they have opportunities to go and put it to bed and they can't, and then suddenly Dublin find themselves a point up with a minute and a half to play, there's no way you can go and win that kick out, get the ball to Senan Baker as cool as you like, to slot it over on his weaker left foot, and then win the kick out and craft an opportunity to go and win it again and come up short. So you're coming up short two or three times in the last couple of minutes of a game to turn it around then in extra time and absolutely blitz Dublin in the first 10 minutes of that extra time period, the first half of extra time. I mean, me personally, like, I didn't think I would ever see, and I imagine this is a case for a lot of people around Westmead, would see a Westmead team go and do that to Dublin. Like, and the legs did seem to be shot from a lot of those Dublin players. The Westmead players looked as though they were just coming out at the start of the game. And I think that they broke them. They actually broke Dublin with the running power and even mentally, I think, as well. When Dublin, it was handed back to Dublin to get back into the game. And Westmead have been doing that a lot over the last little while. But you're dead right to go and do what they did and finish the game how they did. And the goal at the end, I mean, that's the stuff dreams are made of. We saw a bit of it at Celtic Park that weekend with Hart scoring the goal on a break. Danny McCartan had the same thing against Meath earlier on in the season, where the game is wrapped up and you just go and put the final nail in the coffin, and that's what Jack Duncan did at the end.
I think what Matthew said there about Dublin and I suppose the fitness thing has been pointed out to me a few times. I don't think it's fitness, and I asked Kieran McGeaney about energy and extra time, we'll get to that in a minute, but there's no getting away from it. Dublin just do not have the players they once had, right? But we know that, and we've said it all year. If Dublin get their strongest 15 on the field and if they're all in form, they're as good as nearly anyone in the country. But they still had to be beaten. They still had to be knocked off that perch in a way. And I know Loud won an Leinster title last year, but they hadn't beaten Dublin on the way. There's just no taking away from the achievement of actually beating the Dubs in Croke Park. Even if they are this group nearly on their last legs. And like, Dublin very easily could have won that in normal time. They could have actually, there's a moment in late on with about 5 or 6 minutes to go, and there's a Dublin onslaught with 5 or 6 Dubs chasing down a kick out. And I think they maybe go a point up at that stage before Baker's equaliser. And when you're watching it, it feels like the Dublin of old. But Westmead, Mick, they did their bit. Yeah. They got the foot in the throat. And they did the job.
100%. The second time they got the chance, they took it. I think it's important, a point that Matthew makes there about never in your lifetime thinking you could do that to Dublin. It's not that you couldn't beat them, and they beat them in, like, you know, 04, of course. Like, you know, and
yeah,
it was in a Leinster quarter final. I do wonder if they've ever had a championship game against Dublin when they've been significantly the better team and didn't just catch them on the day. And that was my feeling yesterday, that they're way better than Dublin. I'm not saying they should be there and the power rankings read that it was of a day and you have to look at a full season and so on. This isn't a power rankings argument, but yesterday they were a significantly better team than Dublin, and that's fascinating to see. And if we jump to page one, it's not to leave Westmead alone. Actually, can I just make one more final point, because it's something that's been bothering me a little bit. You mentioned Senan Baker's tapping that up all over. The amount of times this year that I've seen players refuse a 20-yard point because they don't trust their bad foot. I think the shooting has got so good in Gaelic football now. I think that has to be the next evolution, because there's so many there for you. There's so many there for you that lads have to start practicing hitting it over with their left or right foot if they're the opposite foot, because it's there available to you 40 times a game and lads are turning around and refusing it. And Baker didn't yesterday, and it's so impressive as well. Like,
I think that it's that mindset shift, that the way the football is going, I think we've been making that point that, you know, you will be rewarded for that. And we're obsessed with the instep shot on the right, on the right from the right, or on the left from the left on the football pod. And I was talking to another inter-county manager going cross country today, just having a chat about the weekend, and like just raving about that shot. Jack McCarron did the same thing. I mean, McCarron spins his man. The 2-point is beautiful and it gets the man and crowd on their feet. But when he's coming in on the left from the left and he's 16, 15 yards out, like Stephen O'Neill used to do it all the time. Paddy Andrews actually used to do it all the time from the right. There is nothing sweeter in Gaelic football than that strike. And it just shows the quality that's in Baker. And you called it a weaker foot, Michael. I'm not sure does Senan Baker look at it as his weaker foot. I'm sure he looks at it as a weapon himself, because he's a quality inside forward too.
But everyone can develop that. Like,
what foot is Senan? And I wasn't actually sure. And the first thing they said to me was, he's two-footed. And I was kind of like, okay, right, that's fine. But which is his stronger foot? I just want to make one final point as well. We've said that a couple of times now.
Matthew, it's been the Westmead power rankings for about 5 weeks, so you may as well keep going.
Yeah, it's coincidental, isn't it? Like, I've been drafted in and suddenly everything's turned up, but I know I'm not taking any credit for what's happened. I actually feel a little bit imposter to be sitting here in a jersey talking about it when these lads have gone and done what they've done. And what they have done can't be underestimated as far as the joy that's been brought to the people of Westmead. Westmead's one of these counties, and obviously it's my county. it's our county, and we love it as everyone loves their own county. But I feel the perception of Westmead, like, nobody hates Westmead. Nobody loves Westmead from outside of here. We're just another county. And there can kind of be a feeling of insignificance around that. And what these lads have gone and done, and it's not about putting your county on the map, it's just about giving people something to be proud of. And it's not that teams in the past haven't done that, but these lads really have gone and done that. And they've created a bit of an identity that is... proud is the word I'm going to use again. These are a really, really likable bunch of lads from top to bottom. And I was going around Mullingar there last night, and I knew it was going to be a great night. And I was up in Dublin with all the Westmead people around, and you knew it was going to be brilliant, but it still exceeded all the expectations. You've seen all the videos between on the hill, in the Hogan stand, in the Cusick stand, on the way out of Croke Park, on the streets of Mullingar beside the Joe Dolan statue, outside Cannon Casey's, inside Daly's, outside Clark's today, and they'll be heading to Athlone. There's two sides of Westmead, you know, there's guys, St. Lomond's one side, you've got Ray Kneldon and Shane Allen with Athlone on the other side. So it's there's so many people that have been touched by this from old and from young and from all walks of life, and people there are probably going to games who've never seen a game of Gaelic football before, and they've brought them out. And I just think I'm sure these lads do recognise that, and they know what they've done, and Mark McHugh included in that, who is now very firmly an adopted Westmead man. They need to be immensely, immensely proud and recognise what they've done here over the last couple of months.
Well said, Matt. And you're dead right as well. Westmead's second ever Leinster title is our county story of the week. Monaghan did jump up to 9 there, worth noting, after drawing. We're going to talk about that game now. Let's jump on to page 1, where we have Cork staying at 8. Dublin dropping down to 7. Mayo go up just by dint of Dublin dropping down to 6. And then it's still Galway, Roscommon, Donegal, Armagh. Don't bother Kerry at the top of the rankings, but do, I suppose, solidify their place above Donegal there. I suppose if they'd lost, you might have thought about bumping Donegal back up again, Tommy, would you?
But yeah, possibly. Yeah. But yeah, sorry. If Armagh lost a 4th Ulster final in a row, yeah, absolutely, they would have dropped. They would have, but they didn't. And they've won their Ulster title, and they bloody well celebrated it too.
Yeah, well, let's stick with that, actually, because you mentioned a 4th Ulster title in a row, and obviously it's a 4th draw in a row in an Ulster final, which is absolutely mad in its own way. 5th draw in general, but 4th for Armagh. You know, so just incredible. But the Saturday week, the Harvey Norman Saturday week this week, I've actually gone back to something that we talked about on an earlier pod, and obviously it's been extended now. So I mentioned this before, in championship games, it's around about an 8 to 10% draw rate. So usually, I don't have the exact stats on that. You'd have to look over championship games over a significant period of time. But I'm told it's about 8 to 10% is the usual rate after 70 minutes of a draw. So since the 2023 season, and I'm including all games in this, unlike last time, I didn't start on a draw. Started under Ulster Championship, where they won three games and got to the final. Armagh have had 28 championship games. After yesterday, 8 of them have ended in a draw after 70 minutes. That's rounded up to 29%, which is three times your average draw rate, if it's 8 to 10%. Kind of remarkable, really. We've known this about Armagh for quite a while, that they do this. One thing that you have to say has changed this year, they obviously haven't given up whatever it is that makes them so addicted to just doing enough not to lose, but they have responded both times this year in extra time and not let it go to penalties or not get beaten as they did last year. And finally, they're turning those draws into success rates, which they weren't doing in every game except the Kerry semi-final in 24. I think they lost every other game that they did draw in, be it either via extra time or via penalties.
Yeah, it's a really good stat, and it's really worth talking about because it is endemic. I think that's the right word. In this Armagh team, that they tighten up down the stretch and they are so bloody good at mowing you down. They've got such speed, and we spoke about speed with the Rossies. They've got such athleticism. They've got so much quality. But like a lot of Division 1 teams, they slow down their attacks when they get on top, and it doesn't necessarily suit them. And coming up against a group of Mavericks like Monaghan, and this was the feeling beforehand, before the game, I was chatting to Andy McNulty and Conor McManus, and I called a replay. Like, I thought this game was destined for extra time, and I thought they might stick with them and drag them to extra time and a replay after it, because I just felt if Monaghan were within not even punching distance, if Monaghan were in stone's throw distance, they would have been able to reel them in. And we mentioned McCarron, but like, there was one moment, and we might get to it in our close calls in a couple of minutes, but there's a moment late on where Monaghan turn over Armagh with 15 seconds left on the clock. And if they got up the field, if Ryan O'Toole's kick pass had got away, any Monaghan man would have put that ball over the bar with 10 seconds to go, because they just have it in the boots. And Mick, Kieran McGeaney, I asked him about it after the game, like, because Rory Grugan said it to me, what McGeaney said to them in the dressing room, how he equipped them to go out and push on an extra time. That's worth looking at. And it's worth looking at the three subs that McGeaney made. We saw Daniel McGee come on yesterday. I hadn't seen much of Daniel McGee before, but he had the athleticism, the power, the running ability. I don't know much about his football, but by God, can that lad run. And it made all the difference in extra time. And Rory Grugan, how he managed that game upstairs, and how Armagh managed extra time, it's worth looking at and worth talking about, because they have found a way of getting over the line when they stumble to the finishing line. But I don't know, they just tighten up with 10 minutes to go. And at the minute in Gaelic football, that last 10 minutes is so important.
Yeah, they do. And look, I mean, what they have off the bench in general, the fact that they can bring on Oisin O'Neill, like, just in general, I just think is an incredible thing. And they just seem to always, they seem to have this 30-man panel where it kind of doesn't really matter who the first 15 are, and you wouldn't know who's going to be there from one week to another. And that's very handy, I would say, over the course of a long season. And I really like this Armagh team. And the one thing I would say is, as much as I would absolutely give credence to the fact that they do tighten up down the stretch and they probably should get the job done a little bit easier, I'm the one who brought the stat, I completely agree. I'd also say, and I was talking to someone text me during the game saying, God, you'd be so proud of this team as a Monaghan fan, because they are this clutch performers that just seem to, you know, just net, like, the style that they do it in, the fact that they could do it in such explosions of scoring, and the fact that they've done it now all year as well. And I think we'll see a bit more of them as well. It's interesting that you did move them up despite defeat this week, you know, because I think they do deserve it, like, you know.
Yeah, and I did. And can I just mention that Mayo moved up as well, despite defeat. And a part of that was to do with Dublin, okay? And there are, I'm looking at the power rankings here and I don't feel overly comfortable. And I think you boys are right with the Tatchin Cup stuff. But I think the All-Ireland series will expose a lot over the next few weeks. It is a totally different competition. But I think when we reflect on Mayo's defeat to Roscommon, there was a kind of a bit of an alarm at the time. But Mayo's defeat to Roscommon was not as alarming as down-shocking Donegal or even the manner in which Westmeath took down Dublin. So I do think that a lot of change is going to happen in that top 14, 15 yeah. over the next couple of weeks.
Definitely, we'll see it all from here. This is as it stands as of now. We're basically out of time. You'll get lots more Monaghan chat in some other places. But just before we go, Tommy, your Hawkeye moment, yeah. you alluded to it there. This is the close call that everybody's talking about. And it's a very different one this week because you're talking about like a lot of close calls in games, little moments that happened that made a huge difference in both finals. Like
100%. And I'll be quick here, but it is something we should come back to. And I've made this point before. I did an interview with Kieran McGeaney last year and, you know, we spoke about the top 10 defensive plays and that, you know, the GAA should be putting that out there. Yes, we all pay in money to see spinners kicked over the bar or goals rattling the back of the net. But Stephen O'Hanlon chases down Tomás McCormick yesterday and gets a hand on him before Monaghan have completed their comeback in normal time. He just about gets his hand on him. What O'Hanlon does going forward is unbelievable. But if he doesn't make that desperate defensive intervention late on to spill the ball from McCormick's hands into Beggins, Monaghan don't force extra time. And Darren McMullen, his day yesterday in front of the goalposts, his shooting reminded me of his debut for Armagh in the Division 2 final a couple of years ago. He was 0 from 7 shots. And yesterday, I think he was 0 from 6. But he plays the ball in for the goal for Tiernan Kelly. And it's absolutely glorious. But the play that I wanted to highlight was the block he makes on Ryan O'Toole. When he just dives out and just blocks. And that is the moment when it's played back in years to come. That is the moment that got Armagh over the line because he stopped Monaghan breaking to score the winner that they wouldn't have been able to stop. And it reminded me of Joe McElroy. And Joe McElroy, one of these wing forwards / midfielders that goes under the radar, but he's within the dressing room, he's a hero. Joe McElroy's fingers are the reason that Armagh got over the line because his fingertips pushed Paul Conroy's late effort for Galway onto the post in the 2024 All-Ireland final. And I think we need to see more of these moments highlighted on our social media channels, on TikTok and Instagram, the top 10 defensive plays of the week, because they are the close calls, the Hawkeye moments to get you over the line.
There you go. Absolutely. Tommy, thanks for everything. Good power rankings this week. Very little arguing, although if you do have any issues with anywhere, like, are Dublin too high at number 7? Who'd have thought we'd ever ask that question? You can get in touch with us. Harvey Norman have given us tickets to the Croke Park quarterfinals to give away every week. So just get in touch with us on WhatsApp 087-9180-180 or enter at offtheball.com is the email address. Just let us know and we will pick a winner later on this week. It's all with thanks to Harvey Norman, who are sponsors of the Power Rankings and also official staff sponsor of the GA. Tommy, thanks very much. And Matthew, take it easy tonight, hon. Few hot waters and lemons be good for Off the Ball breakfast tomorrow morning, yeah?
Yeah, no problem, Mick. Will do.
Don't take it easy. Soak it in. Only number 2 in your history. Enjoy it all. Thanks, lads.
It's only the start of the season. You have to keep going. Lots more night.
Thanks, lads.
The Power Rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA.